Evening.
Evening.
Every time we choose something, I think, oh, this is my favorite. So I felt that way about the precious mirror and about the precepts, and now we're doing the Diamond Sutra, and I think, oh, this is my favorite. Just like all the other ones. So we are on 4 and 5, I do believe. Yes. So let's read it first. It's on page 85 if you're in here, or does everybody have a copy?
At home.
Of course. Well, I brought extras. Is that two? So this is about Dana Paramita, about giving. Ron, you want to read the first one, number 4?
Moreover, Sahuti, when bodhisattvas give a gift, they should not be attached to a thing. When they give a gift, they should not be attached to anything at all. They should not be attached to a sight when they give a gift. Nor should they be attached to a smell, a taste, a touch, or a dharma when they give a gift. Thus, Sabuti, fearless bodhisattvas should give a gift without being attached to the perception of an object. And why? Sabuti, the body of merit of those bodhisattvas who give a gift without being attached is not easy to measure. What do you think, Sabuti? Is the space to the east easy to measure? Sabuti replied, no, it is not Bhagavad. The Buddha said, likewise is the space to the south, to the west, to the north, in between, above, below, or in any of the 10 directions easy to measure? Sabuti replied, no, it is not Bhagavan. The Buddha said, so it is, Sabuti, the body of merit of those bodhisattvas who give a gift without being attached is not easy to measure. Thus, Sabuti, those who set forth on the bodhisattva path should give a gift without being attached to the perception of an object.
So this isn't really so much about the problem of giving as it is about attachment, which is what everything comes back to. Say we must be attentive and kind and all of those things, but the main thing is just not to be attached to what we think of as something. As soon as we become attached, we've already identified it, which means we've poked a finger at it. identify means dent, means finger. So we've poked a finger at something and discriminated it from everything else and created a whole batch of confusion around what it is and what we want and what we get and what we give. All of those things get start rolling around in our mind as we try to scope out how to measure what we do. Subhuti asks, you know, how shall I do this? How shall I walk and stand and sit and lie down in this way, in this practice way? So this is Buddha's first effort to talk about it, talking about the body of merit. So let's go on and do number 5 as well. So he's really jumping around from one thing to the next. The bodhisattva thought of going forth. And then the bodhisattva thought of giving a gift. And then trying to see the Tathagata. By possession of attributes. And if you've read those early sutras, you know that the Bodhisattva, the Buddha, has many attributes. Long earlobes, very long earlobes, a knob on the top of his head, golden color of his skin. Very beautiful, shining golden color. Just unmistakable attributes that you would know in a minute that this was Buddha. Everything you could think of in a man's body would be a part of it. Jeffrey, you want to read number 5?
Sure. What do you think, Subhuti? Can the Tathagata be seen by means of the possession of attributes? Subhuti replied, no, indeed, Bhagavan. The Tathagata cannot be seen by means of the possession of attributes. And why not? Bhagavan, what the Tathagata says is the possession of attributes is no possession of attributes. This having been said, the Buddha told the Venerable Subhuti, since the possession of attributes is an illusion, Subhuti, and no possession of attributes is no illusion, by means of attributes, there are no attributes that the Tathagata can indeed be seen.
So here is the first little flip, where he brings something up and then flips it. So that you have to let it come in without thinking too hard, and you can see. I have a handout. Maybe I'll hand it out now. There are 32 marks, or 80 signs of... beauty in the Tathagata. But Mara and the wheel-turning kings also have the same attributes. So you might make a mistake and think a wheel-turning king was a Buddha. And it would be a very serious mistake. And it might even be Mara, which would even be much more serious. So Thich Nhat Hanh says, our job is to practice until signs, these marks and signs, no longer deceive us and our perceptions become insight and understanding. So it's about what the third patriarch talked so much about the judgments that we so quickly make when we encounter something. When we think we know what it is, we think we know what its attributes are, we think we know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. So practicing generosity and then practicing not holding on to anything. We can be generous in a kind of small way by loving to help out in lots of ways and give as many ways as we possibly can and still be withholding. If we're attached to it in some way. Well, I gave so-and-so this thing and they haven't given this anything back. You know, that's what we often find in ourselves is some way of tit for tat. And if the tat doesn't come, then we feel gypped or it hasn't followed through. And as we know, every so-called spiritual teacher always comes from giving without any attachment at all, no strings attached, just completely giving and being anonymous about it. So this too with our Buddha. It's a lifelong practice. It's something we pass through many stages of. When little children are very small, they like to give. And then they get a little older and they don't like to give at all. And then as we get older than that, then it gets confusing. And then we have allegiances and alliances and we give to those who we know or we're kin to, but not to those people over there because they're not one of us. So all these ways, these judgmental, prejudiced ways of thinking are always being addressed for us, being brought up as a reminder. There really isn't any difference. And that's what this poem is, this little Dogen poem. The true person is not anyone in particular, but like the deep blue color of the limitless sky, it is everyone everywhere in the world. So, if everyone is a part of the blue sky, then how can we tell who's the best? There isn't any best in the blue sky. It's just all blue sky. So Wu Nim goes on quite a bit on this one especially, and those last quotes are from Hui Neng, who wrote his own little essay on the Diamond Sutra. He said, our own nature is originally open, peaceful, unified, not discriminating anything. Therefore, the realized one deeply praises not conceiving discriminating thoughts, discriminatory thoughts. Ordinary people only see the physically embodied realized one, the Tathagata. They don't see the realized one embodying reality. How often we long for some kind of perfect person, some kind of realized perfection that we can warm our hands at or learn from, sit at the knees of and learn from. How often we try to recognize something in ourself that is that. It's our own nature we're always looking for. Always. But we point our knowledge, our knowing, out there rather than turning around and looking inside. So we don't see that reality itself is Buddha nature. Reality is the embodiment of Buddha nature. It's not somewhere else. It's not somewhere better. We haven't lost Eden. We just don't see very clearly where we are. So Hui Neng goes on, those who see the reality body can practice charity without dwelling on appearances, can universally respect all beings, and can cultivate the practice of prajnaparamita, the perfection of wisdom. Then they truly believe that all beings have the same one true essence, fundamentally pure and unpolluted, with countless functions. How can that be? I mean, we know what a mess everybody is. We know how we make so many mistakes and do ridiculous things, if not awful things, if not both. We know all through our life the things that we look back and regret having done. How can that be? And yet those great assets of a Buddha, those long earlobes and that knob on the head and all of those things, that's not it either. So that one of the translators of, in fact, I think that's what Ron has, is that the one with, by Price and Wang Mulan? Yeah. And they said this very nice thing, love is the highest law. Assistance is an expression of the love of the part for the whole. And courtesy is the splendor of charity. So, the only way we can truly love is not to make a distinguishing mark between me and thee, or us and them, in the most fundamental way. Meaning we can go out and be friends with anyone. People are trying this in a lot of different ways now. I think there's always some kind of movement, social movement of one kind or another, to go out and identify with people that one is not used to considering friends. I know a number of people are making a point of going to Muslim celebrations at the mosques around the Bay Area, making sure that there's some kind of connection and some kind of conversation. There are many movements like that. There's a whole ecumenical movement of all the religions in the Bay Area. Burgett is a part of that, where everyone who wants to, the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Muslims and the Christians and the Sikhs and who knows what else, are all meeting and talking together and eating together, breaking bread together. It's our biggest limitation as humans. This tendency that's part of our animal nature to separate ourselves and protect ourselves from others with a capital O. And all of the teachings of the great teachers is about, but wait a minute, the other is me too. It's all the same. So in a way that the wheel-turning kings and the Tathagata and Mara all have the same marks is kind of cool, because that brings even Mara into alignment with everyone and everything. There is no way for anyone to be outside the pale. But if that's true, then our work is to find a way to keep from tearing each other limb from limb. Manage our fear of the other in some way so that we can stand up and sit down and walk together and find that place where we're all sharing in spite of all the differences. The true person is not anyone in particular. So that's basically what I brought to say about this, but Red Pine has lots to say about it more. Some really nice things. as the Buddha, the attributes refer to the original body of all beings, and the word Tathagata refers to the original Dharma body of all beings. The Buddha wants us to recognize the impermanent owner of this impermanent body. Only then can we not be affected by appearances. So how can we connect with and know? We try to know in ourselves, but actually the best way to know is with the so-called other. That's where our discoveries come in. There's just a few more minutes. You have questions? Donalyn?
It's really a question, it's just a really the second verse here. I really like quite a bit is love is the highest law. Assistance is an expression of the love of the part for the whole, and courtesy is the splendor of charity. I was thinking of Shashin, how we're always, you know, in Gassho, and how we treat the bell, and how we do Oriopi, and it just resonated with me that practice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's deep respect as well as affection.
it's not a personal thing. It's the way that you do it. And again, it feels like it's practice.
Yeah. So that you're not really doing it exactly. The whole thing is doing it. It's all being done together. Yeah.
Also carrying it into our daily lives. You know, I'm always running around and gotta be this and this, and gotta get all these things done because that's good. You get accomplished and hurry, 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 and then you stumble and break. Once it's while I'm leaving so quickly because it's gotta get all that stuff from under. Rather than, you know, slow down and bow to it first, just as it's a shame, you know. Just seems everything is so fast.
It is.
You know, so much easier when things are simple.
It is. I took 3 days off, this last 3 days, and one day I made 2 loaves of bread. That's all I did. I thought, this is funny. And one day I did 2 loads of laundry. And the third day I pruned the lemon tree. So 3 days, very little. Usually I'm, you know, doing all those things in one day and even more. And it was wonderful. And I thought, the world didn't fall apart because I wasn't doing all of that. It was kind of nice. it just meant letting things just go. And there's that nervous feeling that we have to control everything and we shouldn't let anything go. And we've got to keep some kind of mastery over our life. Otherwise, what might happen?
Something wonderful might happen.
Something might, yes. Something truly wonderful might happen. It's really hard to give myself permission to do that. But I recommend it. It's at least for 3 days. Then I got back in my car this morning and...
or even one thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to go weeding today, you know, bow to the weeds.
Yes, yes.
And this is the most important thing I could do right now.
Yeah.
So it works pretty good when one remembers to do it.
Mm-hmm. That the weeds are grateful too.
Yeah.
I'll come back.
They will. They will.
Every spring it's the same. I call them not weeds, they have these little stickers, the kind that when kids run over with their bikes, you know, makes it flat when they get up there.
Oh.
But they're really a native weed. Because I pull them every year.
And they always come back.
And they have all these little burrs, you know, the stickers. Mm-hmm. Some of them fall off, they're my native kids. The next time it rains, every spring and fall. It doesn't
matter. Well, they were here before we were, so they really have, you know, grandfathered in their rights to the land.
That's what I did on the weekend, too. I did some yard work. I wanted to do more, of course. I felt I didn't do enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the challenge. You have to be so driven by these desires and lists of agenda plans and projects.
Yeah.
This. Don't have enough time to do it. It's impossible. So frustrating.
Well, I've got clean clothes now. I've got 2 loaves of bread in the freezer. So, life is good. Well, it's after 8:00.